The KGEZ Good Morning Show, Robin Mitchell and John Hendricks, and we welcome Whitefish Long Range Planner Alan Tiefenbach. Hello.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. With us.
Thanks for coming in.
Long range planning. Where does long range planning meet short range planning?
In general, long range planning is a 20-year timeline or less. Mm-hmm. Current planning, what we usually talk about development review, is sort of when projects come in individual for a site-specific project. But when you're looking at the maps and the plans for the future, long-range planning is where we're working.
Now, that's going to be a bit of a challenge for you because you're kind of landlocked there in Whitefish.
We are. I mean, most of the development we're going to see in the future is probably going to be more infill and more density. There's a few areas where there could still be some additional area that could grow, but in general, we're talking about more density.
Kalispell Mayor Mark Johnson jokes that, Whitefish, you better start annexing south of Highway 40 before we do.
That's been a big discussion item, and whether or not the county is the one that's going to continue to oversee development there, or if Whitefish is going to be the ones that influence there.
And we tried the donut, and that didn't work.
That was certainly a lot of fun. I wasn't here yet, but I definitely know the story.
Have to project 20 years out the population and all kinds of factors, but now Whitefish will likely always be a resort community, right?
Well, that's one of the biggest challenges that we have is Whitefish went from traditionally a blue-collar railroad and worker-type industry to now where predominantly it's tourism or retirees. So it's definitely the trying to keep the jobs local and being able to keep people that can stay in their houses that aren't in the upper class is one of our biggest challenges. Hmm.
So looking out here, 20 years, obviously you've had a chance to at least mull it over a little bit. What do you see?
So there's been some recent legislation, as you probably know, through the state statute, and there's a lot more basis on us having to look at 20-year projections and try to come up with some kind of idea of what our populations are going to be, what is our job in the market going to be, what is our housing market going to be. And one of the issues when you're projecting out that far is it's probably easier to be less accurate than accurate. 20 years, as you probably know, I mean, nobody saw 2020 coming, and prices of housing in Whitefish went from $450,000 to $1.3 million in 3 years. Wow. So how do you predict that? How do you predict a 8% growth in 1 year in Whitefish from 20 to 2021?
Yeah. So you're flying blind is what we're saying. It's best guesses, right? Or do you have a number of different scenarios or degrees that things could happen?
Well, I'm not sure if I'd want to install community confidence by saying I'm flying blind.
Okay.
Certainly, I think the challenge is that the recent legislation that we've had is new, and every city that's required to do this in Montana now is basically trying to have to figure this out, and there's really no paradigm that we have to look at this and figure it out. So all of the planning departments are kind of noodling this one out, trying to figure out how we can do this.
Well, how is this legislation impacting you?
And well,
what are we talking about exactly?
Well, so in general, there's been quite a few legislative bills over this most recent legislative session that ended in May. There was some significant changes in the way that land use planning happens in Montana, and it pertains to 10 different cities, which is kind of ironic. Any city with more than 5,000 people in a county of more than 70,000 people is subject to these regulations. As you said, one of them is you have to project out 20 years in the future. We basically have to do a build-out analysis. So we have to look at what we anticipate our housing, our jobs, all of our land uses will be in 20 years. We have to design a land use map that accommodates that projection. We have to write regulations that meet that map. And then when people come in to develop, it needs to be an administrative process. So under the current process, you hear about public hearings about developments or apartment projects, and the community shows up and the community gives their input. Now the way it's required is the community has to give their input now at the time of the growth policy. And when individual projects come in, they're done at an administrative level and there's no more public hearings. And that was one of the things that was passed down from the Montana legislature.
How is that going to go down with the with the neighbors?
Well, I'm so glad after a 20-year career, I picked a current title that was less stressful and more relaxing.
But if you got to say it now for what happens in 20 years, because what happens in 20 years, you got no say.
It's I don't know if I would quite say it that way, because we always have the opportunities to tweak the plan. So it's not like you have to do this and now you're stuck for 20 years. We have to make 20-year projections, but certainly the cities, we're required to look at the plan every 5 years tweak it. But we can look at it every year. If something happens and it's clearly not working, then it certainly is incumbent upon the citizens in the city to tweak that plan and make it work.
Now, I know the governor has pushed to cut red tape and that kind of a thing, which is idealistic, but does this mean that the 20-year plan and what you have to have is a strategic plan, a template that developers drop into as opposed to them making proposals?
In a sense, the developers would be looking at, I guess the, probably the better way to describe it is that it's supposed to be more predictability. So the developers should be able to look at what the land use map says the way the city should grow. They should be able to look at the regulations, and if they develop in accordance to those regulations, there should not be any more public hearings or any more quotation marks red tape. Now, how does that work in reality? Don't know, because there's 10 cities in Montana right now that are trying to figure this one out.
Boy. Now, here's something that that puzzles me. Whitefish wants to continue to be what Whitefish is, particularly in the downtown areas. You've got height restrictions, you've got density restrictions. And yet you indicate that if we're going to grow, we're going to have to get to be more dense. How are we going to do that?
Well, there's certainly a lot of ways you can do it without having to go high and go too dense. I mean, one of the things to talk about is gentle density, adding duplexes. I mean, there's so many different houses on large lots that could have a duplex or an accessory dwelling unit, or there's a granny unit or what they call Fonzie units above the garage. So there's many different ways. That was a joke for people that are over 50, by the way.
Yeah.
So the Fonzie uses the Fonzie apartments above the garages. There's a whole lot of ways to get more quotation marks dense without building apartments. And that's part of the perception that causes so much fear, is when we say density, people envision these large apartment complexes. You can go twice as dense as a neighborhood just by adding some accessory dwelling units and some duplexes.
Yeah.
It's still going to change the face of Whitefish.
It will. And you know, the thing is that this is sort of what we're being told to do. The legislation has said you've got 15 different strategies you have to choose from. You have to choose five, and you have to make this work and figure out how to accommodate your population.
Is this going to work?
I can't answer that question. I'm not running for office.
Yeah.
But I guess my point here is that this does not sound like a workable plan for a 20-year plan.
I don't know if I would agree with that. I mean, there's been plenty of cities across the U.S. that have tried to work on density, have tried to make the process more predictable. I know that Bozeman already has reduced the amount of required public hearings, where more things are done administratively, and it seems to be working very well for Bozeman. So it's absolutely workable.
Okay.
I wouldn't go as far to say this is completely unreasonable, but it is definitely a 360-degree way on looking on things that people are used to than here in Montana.
I can think Mary Flowers would sure have a problem with this.
Depends on who you talk to. Again, I'm not going to take any opinions in the middle. My job is to figure out how to make this work.
I do not envy you.
Right now, sometimes I don't either.
That's
well, you've got a great attitude anyway, and we appreciate this explanation. I'd love to talk with you in 6 months and see how you feel about it.
We'll see if I'm still here.
Gosh, Alan Tiefenbach, thank you so much for talking with us this morning and helping us understand your challenges and the challenges we have in growth here.
Can I say one thing real quick before
Absolutely,
I say that?
Absolutely.
One of the things I think that's really been stressed about this is how important it is for the community to be involved. We have a website called engagewhitefish.com, and that's a way that people can subscribe and sign up to be involved. We're also having a work session tonight at 5 p.m. with the planning board. It's relatively benign. We're going to be basically just kind of giving some overviews of what's happened. But in general, I think I really want to encourage people to sign up on engagewhitefish.com, because if you do that, I'll keep you up to date and let you know everything that's going on. It's a good way to be involved.
And you pointed out earlier that, if you're going to have something to say about the growth of Whitefish, you better say it now.
That is correct. And again, I think there's a little bit more fear about everything is shut after this, because there's going to be plenty of opportunities. Even though we're moving forward with the growth policy, there's always amendments to the growth policy. There's always public hearings that happen. It's just there's less control than there is right now over the public showing up and making comments.
All right. Gosh, thanks so much. We really appreciate it.